I'd like to introduce to you not only a really good friend of mine, but one of my disciples and one of my mighty men of God, James Phillips. James is really growing and matured in the Lord. He really has an awesome gift. I just want to encourage you to open your heart and receive for him. I believe he has a prophetic word for us as where we're going as a ministry. And he has shared that with me, and I really believe this is the Lord, and I believe he's the one to share it. Amen. It's about our future. It's about our destiny. It's a little bit different than just a, like, bam in your face, brow beater, character growth message like we've had for a long time, right? Maybe some of that's coming out though, right? All right, sweet. We have been talking a lot about commitment, right? How many of you guys have been challenged in our series on commitment? Hello. Oh, just this group right here. None of these people over here. Okay. So this is still on the topic of commitment and about who we are and what we're committed to as believers and especially as a family. So I want to encourage you and just let you know that I've commissioned James to speak this message to us. Amen. So let's receive it.
I've only actually seen something like this take place one time, and it was very amazing and very powerful. Tonight, I do not have like the ordinary sermon, you know, how we go through our normal traditions. Tonight is going to break tradition. Glory to God. It's going to be good. You see, here at GM, we're always praying, Lord, give us your new wine, Lord. What is your heartbeat for this ministry? What do you have for us at this ministry? Well, my friends, I believe that the Lord wants to his heartbeat tonight. I believe that the Lord has shared his new wine with us tonight. Let's get ready to receive. Praise God. What I believe I have tonight is a prophetic word for this ministry. You see, throughout the Bible, the Old and New Testament, the Lord would speak prophetically to his people, Israel, his chosen people. And what he would do is he would put his anointing on one person to speak prophetically. You see, when Israel was crying out, they're like, Lord, we want a king to lead us. The Lord gave Samuel a word for his people, and Samuel spoke to the people. When Paul was in the New Testament, he was praying, and the Lord gave him a prophetic dream. This dream, when it found out what it revealed that Gentiles could enter salvation, could be saved, and praise the Lord, because that would be us then. Glory. Jesus, during his prophetically all throughout the whole thing. And he was speaking prophetically about... just reached into my pocket.
We're really close.
Yeah. Yes, he's done mouth to mouth. I mean, in a sermon. Yeah, anyway. You see, Jesus, throughout his whole walk, he was speaking prophetically about his death and about the end times. It's going to be good. So I believe that tonight will be a defining point in our ministry. I believe that we'll actually look back upon this Thursday and see how we reacted to the message that was given. Because how we react to this will have huge results. Praise the Lord. Alright, so if you're here and you just have your Bible, could you just turn with me to Joshua 3? Glory to God. Now, I know this is prophetic and all, but do we love our Bibles? I mean, do we really love our Bibles here at GM? I mean, if you love your Bible, sometimes you just kiss your Bible. Sometimes you go to bed with your Bible. I've seen Andrew in his bed with his Bible. Yeah, that's right. It's true. Glory to God. You guys got to turn there faster. I'm going to keep talking. It's going to be bad. Glory to God. Joshua 3, Old Testament. All right. Here we go. A little just backstory before we read this is the Israelites have come out of Egypt. They've ran their little hinies all the way across the desert, and they're right now standing at the edge of their promised land. And so they're preparing to cross. Joshua chapter 3. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim. Yeah. And went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest who are Levite carrying it. You are to move out of your positions and follow it. Then you'll know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan waters, go and stand in the river." And yes, we're reading the whole chapter. Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribe of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest, yet as soon as the priests who were carrying the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the waters flowing down to the Sea of Araba, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Let's pray. Father God, we just consecrate this time for you, Lord. Father, we are here, Lord God, because you have spoken a word to us, Lord. You have revealed to us your truth. Father God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will just take over my mouth, Father. I pray that you will use my lips, Father God, to convey your truth. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will just divide truth, Lord God, from flesh, Lord, and only your truth will be spoken. Father, we are here expecting to receive from you, expecting to get guidance from you, Lord. We love you, Father. You have lordship in this place. We exalt you above all. Speak to us now. And all God's people said? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, to give you the full power of the word that I have tonight, I need to give you a little background. About 2 years ago, the Lord challenged our pastor. Pastor Josh was in prayer time, and he was seeking the Lord, and the Lord challenged him. The Lord said, "Joshua, can you believe me for 1,000 souls? Now, after praying and just really getting his heart right, really realizing if he could really believe the Lord for 1,000 souls, Joshua said, "Yes, Lord, I can believe you for 1,000 souls. I will believe you for 1,000 souls. And so the Lord led Joshua into the auditorium. I don't know how many of you have been in there. It's right over there. And the Lord had Joshua walk around an area, a section of the auditorium, representing the inherited thousand that the Lord promised Joshua. So Joshua marked down his territory. Now, since that time, we here at GM, we have been standing in that faith. We have been standing in the faith that the Lord has promised us 1,000 souls. And we have been believing him. Now, over the last couple years, you know, we've been slowly growing, slowly making spiritual babies, you know, getting bigger, slowly. That's all we can do is make spiritual babies around here. Anyway. Just kidding. Other than our pastor. Okay. And so, he's gonna make a nation. And so, anyway. Yeah. Praise the Holy Ghost. Anyway. So over the years here at GM, we've done many things. We've done Thursday nights. We have done serving some kids out of McLaughlin. We've done Bible studies. We've done huge events. And over these last couple years, we've noticed some interesting dynamics. See, over the last couple years, we've realized that when we throw like a huge event, we'd spend a lot of time and effort, but a couple people show up. we began to notice that in our Bible studies, we would have like 12, 15 people sign up, but only 4 would complete it. We would notice that on Thursday nights here at GM, we would have 8 to 10 new people every week, but our congregation wasn't really growing. And now before we all just completely shut James off, before we say, dude, that kid is full of himself, I don't know who he thinks he is, I just want to be right out there with you and say, I'm right in that group with you guys. I'm struggling. See, as we began to pray into this thing, as we began to seek God and say, God, why is this? The Lord began to reveal to us that we as a ministry struggle with commitment. And I'm right with you. You see, it's not just congregation, it's leadership and all the way up. You guys, we as a ministry struggle with commitment. And so, you know, as we saw that, we were like, okay, Lord, we see this. And so what we began to do is we began to pray about it, seek God about it, and we decided, you know what? We need to just preach on this. You know, we need to address this topic. If we're struggling in an area, we need to bring this forth. And so we started preaching on commitment, and we started our commitment series. And it's been really good. We started with the whole, like, going into the deep waters, you know, where men could really be men and who they needed to be, and women claimed that they could actually be women and be comfortable with that. We preached the message on going to the fire, going into the furnace for Christ. We preached the message about plowing your field. It was really good. And we've noticed during that time some very interesting dynamics once again. We noticed that, you know, we started coming against some huge opposition. Most of you guys don't know, but our worship team has had some major boulders in their path during this commitment series. I mean, we've hit it pretty hard. Many of our pastors here, our preachers here, have hit some major walls in this series of commitment. It's been very strange. But on the other hand, how many you guys can hear and just contest to the fact that we have seen some great results. We've seen some breakthrough. You see, we have had souls saved during this commitment series. We have had people have huge things just broken off their life. The Lord has given massive freedom to many people during this commitment series. It's been a major thing. You see, the interesting thing is that when you're about to have a breakthrough, things start to look a little different. You see, when you're about to have a breakthrough, things just don't look as they used to be. When you're about to have a breakthrough, things get a little shaky. They get a little weird. My friends, in the history of aerodynamics, I don't know much about it, but I do know this. I know that when we had these fighter planes and they were trying to break into Mach 3, and what would happen is these guys would be flying their fighter planes, and as they got up to the point of breakthrough, their planes would start shaking, and many of the planes would start falling apart, and the pilots would have to eject, and the plane would be destroyed, and they'd have to go start over and try it again. But this one time, this one guy, when his plane started shaking, when everything was getting rallied, when he saw his stuff start to break apart, what he did is he pressed on. He pressed forward and pow! Breakthrough. Silence. My friends, GM, we are on the verge of a breakthrough. You see, we have realized something that we struggle with, and it has been brought into the light, and it is being dealt with. Praise the Lord. My friends, this is what the Lord spoke to me. The Lord spoke to me that we, as a ministry, are right now standing on the edge of the Jordan, looking into our promised land. You see, the Lord said that this ministry is now at a point where we have vision. We can see clear vision of our 1,000 souls. The Lord spoke to me as I sat right there last Thursday night. I didn't hear a word Josh says, but I heard a lot of what the Lord said. He spoke to me that we can receive our inheritance. We are at that point. You see, the Lord promised us 1,000 souls. And the Lord led Joshua into the auditorium to mark out his 1,000 souls that the Lord would deliver. And my friends, the Lord spoke to me last Thursday night that the auditorium is the grounds of our 1,000 souls. And we right now are at a spot where we are going to move into there. And the Lord spoke that we can receive that 1,000 souls. We can receive our inheritance. You see, the Lord spoke to me that it is no coincidence that the Lord has called us to move into our auditorium at this time. It is no coincidence that the Lord has named our pastor Joshua. The Lord spoke to me that it is no coincidence that he has called us to go into the auditorium before camp. And what is our camp theme? War. You see, when we cross into the Jordan, we're going to have battles. You see, this is a divine point in this ministry. This is a very divine point. We are standing right now at the edge of the waters, and we can see our promised land, GM. We can see it. We can see the 1,000 souls that the Lord has promised us. Glory to God. Now, the thing about the promised land is that there are many adversaries. You see, when Joshua and Moses, they came trucking up from Egypt, when they reached the edge of the Jordan and they looked over into this great land, it was wide and fabulous and flowing with milk and honey, it was full of a whole lot of people that wanted to kill them. You see, the promised land that the Lord promised them was not vacant and standing empty for them. It was full of adversaries. Now, the Israelites, as they traveled through the desert, they might hit a bump or two. You know, they had a couple little battles, but it was nothing like the battles that were ahead of them in the promised land. You see, in our Bibles, we can see that when Joshua crossed over, right away, I was researching this, and right away, I mean, he only hit a couple things. He just had to beat the king of Jericho, the king of Ai, the 5 Amorite kings, the southern kings, the northern kings, 31 kings in all. Let's just turn to Joshua 12 real quick, just for fun, because we love our Bibles a lot. Starting at verse 9, do you see the list of kings? Yeah, those all really mean battles. You see, the promised land is full of a lot more battles than anything that they had ever conquered before. I researched this, and they had to beat 6 nations and 31 kings in all. Those were all the kings, and those were all the enemies that were inhabiting the promised land at that time. GM, the Lord spoke to me that a great and effective door is before us, but there are many adversaries. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy at all. So the Lord spoke to me that 2 things must take place. You see, we as a ministry are standing at the edge of the Jordan, and we can physically see into our promised land. We really know that the Lord has called us into the auditorium and has called us to receive 1,000 souls. But 2 things must take place. The Lord says that we stand at the edge of the Jordan together. You see, we're looking into our promised land together. We're looking at our 1,000 souls together. If we are to take our inheritance that the Lord's promised us, if we are to take the 1,000 souls, if we are to move into the auditorium and have success and have this ministry grow, we must be together. You see, back to our story in Joshua 3. The Lord was revealing to me. He was saying, James, you see, the Levites, the leaders, they can kind of usher the rest of the Israelites in. You see, it was Joshua and it was the Levites, which were kind of like the spiritual leaders. They were carrying the ark and they were the ones that had to take the first step into the Jordan. The Lord said that they can help the congregation stop or cross this Jordan. Yeah, they'll be a great part. And in this ministry, when we move into the auditorium, yeah, our leaders will probably do just most of the work of just like getting the physical stuff in there and stuff like that. But the Lord clearly spoke to me last Thursday that, yeah, the Levites can help. Yeah, the leaders can help cross, but only united Israel can take the promised land. My friends, if we are to truly cross and have victory in our promised land, only GM, the congregation, the leaders, all the way up, united together, can take the promised land. You see, can you really imagine 1,000 souls ending up in that auditorium saved with just like 15 leaders or 15 of the congregation sharing Christ, going out and being like, come to GM? It's not going to happen. The Lord specifically spoke that all of GM must be united together for us to receive this inheritance. You guys, when we move into the auditorium, it is going to be a whole world different. It is going to be completely different. We will have light ministries, sound ministries, you know, greeting ministries, coffee ministries. It's insane. The whole sky is the limit. If you guys are anointed in an area, then you can create a ministry. But we must be united together to win this 1,000 souls. We must be. If we're not, I don't believe we'll take the land. You see, if all of us are not out in our city, if the ones that are going to high school are not in our schools and are not inviting people, come to GM. If the people in college are not in college and either inviting or preaching in their classes, dude, come on, we're not going to get our 1,000 souls. We must be united together, otherwise it will not happen. And I'll be the first to tell you that, you guys, who cares about GM? GM is just a name. It is just a vessel. You guys, none of the leadership, our pastors, this is just a vessel. We don't really care about GM in itself. We care about 1,000 souls that are right now outside that door, dying and going to hell. That's what we care about. That is our heartbeat, and I know that is your heartbeat. You don't really care about GM. We don't care about the auditorium. We care about saving 1,000 lost and dying souls. Guys, I believe we can do this. So we must be united together. Now, the second thing the Lord spoke to me about entering into our promised land, and you guys are going to take this wrong, but bear with me, is that we must, as a ministry, be circumcised. Now, I'm not talking about a little, you know, guillotine happening or anything like that, you know. Take a little off the top. We're not talking about that. Josh, turn with me in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 5, verse 2. When in doubt, go back to the Bible. Glory to God. Joshua 5, verse 2. This is right after they crossed into their promised land. It says, at that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. And all the men in the house said, ouch! Glory. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gibbeth Haroth, which means Hill of the Foreskins, and I'm glad I'm not the real estate agent trying to sell things on that place. Praise the Lord. Yes. You see, to enter into our promised land, we must be circumcised of our struggle. We must be circumcised of our past struggles. You see, the Lord specifically says that GM as a ministry struggles with commitment. You see, how many know in your life that, you know, we have a whole bunch of sins we're always fighting against. But how many know there's just that one thing, that one sin that is so hard to beat, that one thing that just we keep thinking we just cannot get out under its oppression. I mean, there is just that one thing that we war with from the day we were born to the day we die. It is like the Goliath sin. My friends, the Lord spoke to me that it is the same in ministry. Each ministry has its battle. It has its Goliath that it has to beat. The Lord spoke to me that commitment is our Goliath that we must beat to enter in our promised land. And we must beat this. The Lord spoke that we as a ministry must be circumcised of this. You see, the Israelites, when they came out of the Jordan, or when they came up from Israel and they were going in the Jordan, they crossed over the Jordan and they were circumcised of the things of old. You see, they had just wandered in the desert for 40 years, and they had some old stuff with them, and they had to be circumcised so they can be made new in Christ's eyes. You see, I don't know how many of you knew this, but this wasn't the Israelites' first time in the Promised Land. When we're reading here in Joshua 3, this wasn't the first time they'd seen it. You see, back in Numbers, the Israelites had seen the Promised Land. Turn your Bibles with me to Numbers 13. You see, 40 years before we were reading in Joshua, 40 years before the Israelites were at the edge of the Jordan in Joshua, they stood at the edge of the Jordan with Moses. But what they did is they showed up there. They showed up after going through the desert, after escaping from Egypt. They showed up and they were looking into their inheritance. They got to look with their physical eyes at what the Lord had promised them for years. So here's what they did. What they decided to do is they decided to send out 12 spies to explore the land. Numbers 13. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the Israelites. For each ancestral tribe sent one of its leaders. So what they did is that they sent their men out. And the men go out. You know, let's just read it from the Bible. The Bible's always better. Let's turn to Numbers 13. Oh, we're there. Verse 26. So they go out into the land and they check it out. And here they come back to Moses, and this is their report. It says they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole community at Kadesh, at the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly who showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and look, it does flow with milk and honey. Here's the fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and their cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Achan there, Amalekites. live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people, for they are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there were in great size. They saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak. We seemed like grasshopper in their own eyes, and we looked the same to them. You see, what happened is Moses sent his little spies out, and they all went in the land, all 12 of them. And they were bebopping in the land, right? And they see these huge people, I mean, like twice their size. I mean, they were like ripped and like boom. They looked a lot like me, actually. But we're just going to put that aside right now. So they go into the land, and they're like, oh my goodness, these guys are huge. I know that the Lord promised us this land, but did you see the size of that guy? You know, his fist is the size of my head. They were freaked out, right? And so they run back to Moses, and that was this report. They're like, yeah, we see that you promised us. Well, you know, it was a land flowing with milk and honey. But Moses, those guys were huge. And what happened is 10 of them was like, you know what? Let's not take this land. After they'd walked all the way across the desert, after they'd warred all those years, and they decided, let's not take the land. Two men, Joshua's right-hand men, were like, yes, we can. But the rest were like, no. Now, why did this happen? This happened, you guys, because they were not united together. Because it was only 2 of them that said we should enter. And 10 of them said no. There was a separation between them. They were not united together. And they were not committed that they could take this land. They were not committed with what they set out from Egypt to do. They were not committed. So here's God's response. This is Numbers 14, verse 23. God says, none of them will ever see the land I promised an oath to their forefathers. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. You guys, what stopped them was non-commitment. What stopped them was the fact that they weren't united together. A few of them were, but not all of them. They were not united together. God spoke to me that if this ministry, if GM is not united together, if we have not circumcised ourselves of non-commitment, we will not take the promised land that He has promised us. We will not receive the inheritance. You guys, if we do not unite together, each and every one of us, and go out and war on the streets, and go into battle united, we will not see that 1,000 souls. So, we must circumcise ourselves of non-commitment. So what does this look like? You see, when you circumcise yourself of something, you're getting rid of it. You're putting it down. You're putting to death that thing. And if we circumcise ourselves of non-commitment, we'll be putting on commitment. My friends, we must be committed. We must be committed to go in there, to join together, to unite together, to support each other, to hold each other accountable, to share Christ, to hand out our invite cards, to go out there in the streets and share the gospel, to go out there and cry for all we've worth and say, you know what, you need Christ. We all need Christ. We must unite together. Circumcision is never easy. Never easy. Our friends, I just want to be the first to say that I really believe that we can do this. What we saw here is we saw the Lord say, you know what? You guys can see your inheritance. You really can see this. You guys really can attain this. You see, the Lord spoke to me that this is a divine point in our ministry. This is a point of choice. This is a point where we can actually have what the Lord has promised us. He has led us at this specific point in time to go into our auditorium, to expand. You guys, we're getting full in here because the Lord's blessed us slowly, but He wants to expand us radically. We are at a point of decision, and it's not light. It's not easy. The Lord said, you can have this if you do this. All throughout the Bible, it's full. It says, here are the blessings and here are the curses. If you follow me, here is all that I will do. If you do what I command, here is all that I will give. I will give you abundance in every area of your life. But if not, you will reap the other side. GM, let's not back down from this challenge. This is a challenge straight from the lips of the Lord. And let's not back down from it. I believe that we can take our 1,000. I believe that the Lord will deliver it. Can you imagine what 1,000 souls would look like in this place? 1,000 radical people? That would completely change all of Anchorage. It's happening all around the United States and other areas. Why can't it be here? It can be. It can be. And a confirmation of the fact that it can be here is that the Lord has deposited faith in us for it. You see, when the Lord asks, Joshua, can you believe me for 1,000 souls? It's because He knows that He can give 1,000 souls. You know? Praise the Lord. Now, I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know if you've been in ministry for a long time. I don't know if maybe this isn't your home church or is. I don't know if you're only going to be in the state for a couple more days or weeks. But I want to challenge you. You see, when Joshua was entering into his promised land, when he was entering into his inheritance, out of 12 tribes, 2 tribes said, you know what, Joshua? We really like this side of the Jordan. I mean, this is some good land here. We really like this. So Joshua was like, okay, that's good. I love you guys. That's good. But will you join us? Will you unite with us to take our inheritance that the Lord has promised us? Joshua said, you know what? We will bless you in this land. If you like this, we will bless you where you're at. But will you join us to go take the inheritance that the Lord has promised us? Will you join us to conquer this land of milk and honey? Because we have many adversaries and we need all of your help. We need you guys. And so what these 2 tribes did is they did. They made a vow with Joshua and they said, okay, Joshua, we will do this. We will go. And so they united with Joshua and they went and they took that land. And when all was said and done, when all the enemies were conquered, they received their inheritance where they were at. You guys, I don't know where you're at in your life. You know, I don't know if you're thinking about going off to college. I don't know. But I want to ask you, will you join us now? Will you fight with us for this time? Will you help us get an inheritance? Because your inheritance will follow you wherever you go. You see, the blessing of winning 1,000 souls for Christ, not for GM, not for Pastor Josh, not for anybody else, but for the Lord. That inheritance will follow you wherever you go. Will you join with us? I want to actually end tonight with this. In the days of old, God, He always had complete authority over people. Always. But what He would do is He would place His hand, His mantle, His anointing, upon a specific person at a specific time. You see, many times the Lord would call one person. If His people were in trouble, if His people needed a breakthrough, if His people were in captivity, the Lord would place His hand upon one person and rise them up to lead His people. rise him up to guide his people either to a breakthrough or to a victory or to their inheritance. My friends, tonight, the Lord has given our pastor that mantle. You see, the Lord has placed a mantle of authority on our pastor, that he has been called specifically to lead us into our promised land. Specifically for this time. You see, we do not know how long Josh will be a pastor. Who knows? Josh is going to follow the calling of the Lord. We do not know how long this ministry will be GM. We don't know these things. It doesn't matter. But for this time, the Lord has placed his anointing. The Lord has placed his hand. He has bestowed himself upon this man to lead us into our inheritance, into the auditorium, and to start seeing the fruits of 1,000 souls. I want to challenge you to receive Joshua for what the Lord has called him for. In Matthew 13, Jesus, he went to his hometown, and he could do nothing there. He had no power there, because it was his hometown. And all the people saw him as is, dude, that's Jesus. That's the Jesus that built the table in our kitchen. That's the Jesus that we played ball with as a child. That's just the same old Jesus we knew. Who is he? How can he do anything? You see, the Bible says that if we receive a prophet, we will receive a prophet's reward. If we receive a righteous man, we will receive a righteous man's reward. My friends, if we receive Joshua, our pastor, for who the Lord has called him to be, for what the Lord has called him to do, we will receive that reward. So will you join us? Will you join us to win 1,000 souls? Will you join us to break through the walls of this place and walk out our lives in our inheritance? Walk out our lives in our promised land? You guys, the Lord has a land of milk and honey. I mean, it would change your life completely if we were really walking in the inheritance that the Lord had for us, for this ministry. It would be amazing. Now, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to do something very important tonight. See, the Holy Spirit has commissioned me to give this message, to tell you that we can see our inheritance. He's commissioned me to tell us that we're standing at the edge of our Jordan, that we can have our promised land. He commissioned me to tell you that we must be united together, and this speaks right to me. He commissioned me to tell us that we must be circumcised of our non-commitment. But he has commissioned me to do one last thing tonight. Joshua, if you would just come up here, and Amanda, if you could just give me some help right here. And if you could just come up here, Joshua. You see, the Lord has commissioned me to anoint our pastor. You see, throughout the whole Old Testament, when the Lord was going to place his command, his anointing, his power upon a specific person, he would call forth, usually a prophet, to anoint him. And when that anointing was received, maybe it looked ordinary in the physical, but in the spiritual, it was completely unordinary. You see, when that person received that anointing, things changed. Because he had a mantle of spiritual authority like he's never had before. We're just going to be led by the Spirit in this time, and we're going to see what the Lord does. But I don't know what I'm doing, but the Lord knows. Praise the Lord. Okay. Joshua, I anoint you. Joshua, the Lord would say, I have called you. I've called you for a specific time. I've called you for a specific reason. I've called you to lead my people into their promise. I have placed my mantle and my authority upon you, Joshua. I have given you power. I have given you authority to drive out all opposition in the land that I have promised to you. My hand is upon you now, Joshua. Thus saith the Lord. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to just going to give Joshua the mic. If although it's a dish to me. And Joshua's full of anointing oil. But here's what I'm going to do. My job has been done.
Honestly, didn't know all of what James wanted to do, but here's a couple things I want to do. One, I just feel like we need to repent. You guys agree? Okay, so we have issues of commitment. So what do? We repent. Right? Oh, no, we just stay the same and just keep going and stay in the desert. Right? A couple things the Lord was speaking to me about is the reason we don't believe in faith is because we fear. How many of you guys might be struggling with a little bit of fear today? You hear 1,000 souls, you're like, it seems scary, but it's one soul at a time. How many of you are in here right now? Do you even know? Probably like 70 or 80. So what happens is if every one of you won one soul this week, that's in 1 week. You got to be kidding me. Listen, if each of you only won 5 people to the Lord in a year, just by natural eyes, this isn't even difficult. But here's the thing, is that fear will stop you from even saying one word, let alone leading one person to Christ. How many of you guys like living in fear? I tricked you, didn't I? You like living in fear? Is fear from the Lord? Seriously, is fear from the Lord? Is it from the Lord? Is God good? Is the devil bad? Is everything that's bad from the devil? Is everything that's good from the Lord? Listen, it's not complicated. It's really simple. There's good, there's bad. Is fear good or bad? Okay. What's the opposite of fear? Faith. That's right. Okay, now look. You're struggling with fear. You can't be okay with that. If you make decisions in your life based on fear, that can't be okay. You've got to make decisions based on faith. Amen? When you think about 1,000 souls, what's the first thing you feel in your heart? Fear. Anxiety. Yeah, hey, I was there. I remember I had to go in the auditorium and work it out. I've been working it out for 2 years. It's not easy. But as we begin to replace that fear, repent of that fear, because if fear is bad and we're making decisions on it, that's sin. I'm sorry. I hate to be the one to tell you the truth. But praise the Lord, you know. Because if you know, you can repent from it and you don't have to live according to it anymore. That's good news. See, the good news is that faith can live inside of you. And is the devil stronger than God? No. So, faith wins all the time. Because all the time, God is good. There's just no... Listen, you might feel that fear, but you can live outside of it. You don't have to live in it. And I'm telling you, when you begin to live according to your faith, amazing things start to happen. 1,000 souls doesn't look so big anymore. When you look at just 10 or 5 for you, but if we're not united, then we're just looking at 15, you know, maybe 20 leaders in this place trying to win 1,000 souls. Now that is a little more daunting. But listen, you are a minister of the gospel. You're a minister of God's faith and His love. You can disciple someone. You need to be a discipler. You've got to learn how to do this. You can't just keep coming and consuming all the time. You have to start doing. You have to start being committed and start living in faith. Armies don't just go out and go, "Wah!" Right? And just run around, "Well, I think we're going to win." "Wah!" Or they just go grab their coffee mugs and go sit down. Well, I mean, I know guys are shooting bullets at me. I know it's over there, but I'm just going to go dig a little hole and sit in it and drink some coffee. It's not how battles are won. They're not won that way. They're won not by just one guy that runs out like Rambo and Arnold Schwarzenegger. I am so large. Look at my muscles. I can destroy an entire army. They shoot bullets at me and I eat them and chew them up and spit them back. This is bogus. This stuff doesn't happen. No, it happens when we're unified. It happens when we all repent of our fear. It happens when we all repent of our lack of commitment, our lack of trust that God is good. Amen? And then we all go together. Every week, we witness. Amen? Every week, we invite new people. Every week, we come to church. This is not complicated. God is good. And we go spend time with God. We go do God's work. We're obedient to God. He said, if you love me, obey my commandments. What did he say? He said, go make disciples. You want to obey the Lord? You want to please him? Go and make some disciples. Listen, they're all around you. They're everywhere. You've met hundreds of people that are not saved. You probably know dozens of people who are not committed to the Lord, but have accepted him at some point. That's all of you. All of you in this room, together, just right here. This isn't even all of our congregation. There's probably another 70 that aren't here right now, at least. Because we're so uncommitted, we don't even come to church all the time. It's hilarious, sort of. So come on. You ready to repent of some fear, some lack of commitment? What do you want to start with first? At least I'm too scared to say fear. All right, you ready? You ready to pray with me? You want to stand with me? Let's stand. I've been doing a lot of repenting this week. It's been good. I've been doing a lot of forgiving this week. That's even better. I don't know. Maybe they're about the same. See, here's the thing. When you forgive others, Christ will forgive you. When you repent of something, then you need to forgive yourself. It's super simple. It's very simple. Because you've sinned, right? And you sinned against God and yourself. Because you disobeyed him. So you got to ask God, and you have to ask for forgiveness, and you got to forgive yourself. It's really simple. You can't hate yourself, can you? Love your neighbor as your... Oh, so self-hatred's a sin too. Oh, no. Okay, well, let's be serious about our walks with the Lord, and let's get it right. You guys ready? So let's repent for some fear of believing that God is God, that if he wants to take us into the promised land, then he can do it. See, it's doubt, it's unbelief, it's fear that God isn't who he is, but he is who he is, right? He's good. Millions of people have been saved. You've been saved. Why can't others be saved? He's God. He's God. So let's believe him for who he is. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I repent now for not believing in who you are. I repent for my fear of commitment, my fear of man, my fear of being rejected. I purpose and choose to forgive myself for my fear, for my lack of commitment, for my unbelief in who you are. In the name of Jesus and by the power of his blood, I cancel all of Satan's power and authority over me concerning my fear of man, my fear of rejection, and my doubt and my unbelief. I break this fear by the power of your Spirit and by the blood of Jesus. Fear, go in Jesus' name. Doubt, go in Jesus' name. Because I am forgiven. Holy Spirit, come and heal my heart. Fill me with faith. Fill me with great faith. Fill me with commitment. Fill me with trust in who you are. Fill me with faith to believe you for 1,000 souls. Fill me with faith to believe you to win 1 soul. 5 souls. By my hand. For your glory. Holy Spirit, come and speak to me. Renew my mind. And tell me your truth. I just want you to listen to the Lord. What's he saying to you? Anybody? Amen. Anything else? See a picture? A feeling? Do you have a weight lifted off of you? Anybody? Weight lifted off of you? Go ahead and raise your hand. Praise God. Feel that fear go away? There's probably more in other places. But come on. At least this ground, let's take this ground. Right? Then we'll take some more ground later. You can always keep taking more and more and more. It never ends. It's always a battle. We're in a war, guys. Believe that our words will not return void. That they can actually do what God's word says they'll do if we speak them in faith and in love. They'll penetrate people's hearts and they'll actually be changed. Go get my campus. It's my mission field. How many of you have some people on your campus that need to be saved? If you don't do it, who's going to do it? What'd you say, brother? The heathens aren't going to share God's love, right? Heathens aren't going to go witness to heathens about Jesus. It's our calling. We're called to be ambassadors. You guys know what that means? An ambassador carries the weight of, he's a dignitary, carries the weight or the authority, or he represents his nation. You're the kingdom of God. You're the children of God. You're ambassadors, you're princes, you're princesses. You're beautiful. Okay? You're the children of God. You carry the full inheritance of the kingdom, and you carry that to them. You are the ambassadors. Nobody else. You can't wait for somebody else to do it. You got to be seeking the Lord every day, taking some ground every day in your friends' lives, building a foundation of care and love of the gospel in their lives so you can share the love of God with them. If you want to be equipped to share your faith, we have small groups that happen every couple months to equip you on how to share your faith. Amen? We're finishing ones up right now. We're going to start new ones up right after camp. Listen, you don't have to go into the battlefield all afraid and ill-equipped with no swords and no sharpening. We got the tools for you, and we can equip you to do this. That's what our job is. Your job is to go fight. How many times when you see a war, do you see the general out there swinging a sword? Okay, some battles it happens. In spiritual battles it happens. But the war is not won by one general out in the middle. It's not won by that. Usually the general is the one organizing and equipping the armies and strategizing them to fight. Come on, this is how battles are won. If the general goes out in the middle of the battle and gets killed, everybody's like, what do we do now? Right? And they're like, run around, rah! Listen, the primary job of winning souls is not bring them to your pastor so your pastor can lead them to Jesus. That's not how it works. No, I go take ground too. I go share my faith as well. And my primary job is to equip. Okay? So you've got to take up the weight of the responsibility that's on you. Amen? Okay. You guys want to repent for a lack of commitment? You guys ready? You guys ready to repent? We haven't been committed. We haven't been committed to our walks with the Lord. We haven't been committed to sharing our faith. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, please forgive me now for not being committed to you, not being committed to my spiritual walk, not being committed to lost souls. Forgive me now. I am forgiven according to your word. I purpose and choose to forgive myself for this lack of commitment. In the name of Jesus and by the power of his blood, I cancel all of Satan's power and authority over me concerning this lack of commitment. Holy Spirit, come and heal my heart. make me a committed believer. Make me a disciple maker who listens to your word and obeys it, who hears your voice and obeys it. Holy Spirit, renew my mind and tell me your truth. Now just listen. What's he saying to you? Amen. We can do it. What else? He show you a picture and he releases weight lifted off again. Anybody else? You have a weight lifted off from lack of commitment? Amen. When you commit, you obey. That's how it works. You sign up, you obey. And it's good. It's not only you are worth it, but trading your whole life for the kingdom is worth it. There's nothing else that's important, guys. I just want to clue you in right now that there's nothing else that's important in life besides relationships. If you believe that something else is important or more important than relationships, it's wrong. It's a lie. It's a lie from the enemy. Your friends, your family, your God. That's it. Your family, your neighbors, and God. That's the only thing that's going into eternity, guys. That's it. Things that are relational are eternal. The things that are eternal are the only things that are important in life. Everything has to equate down to eternity, or we're wasting our breath. We're wasting our heartbeats. We're trading them for things that don't have real value. They're wood, hay, stubble. When the fire comes, they burn up. That's what I want to invest my life in. Stuff, it burns. It's worth nothing. No. We want to invest our lives in something that's worth it. We want to trade it for something that's worth it. Amen? Is 1,000 souls in God's kingdom worth it? So what do? Do you try to win 1,000 all by yourself? No. Commit. Unite. Believe. Right? Faith, hope, love. We have faith that God is who he is, that he can do what he says he can do, that he can win souls through me. We unite together in love. We love each other, right? We love our God together, right? We hope. We hope in the fact that others can know him, that we can be who he called us to be, right? We hope in eternity. These things are going to make it. These things, in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, these things will remain. When everything else doesn't remain, all your gifts, all that stuff, you don't need gifts when you go to heaven, dude. You don't need to prophesy when you go to heaven. You don't need to lay hands on the sick when you go to heaven. You go to heaven, you're like, oh, then I'm really going to have my gifts accentuated. No, you don't need them anymore. They're for right now. Use them. Use them tonight. Go witness to your little brother. Go witness to your little sister. Come on, share your love with them. You've probably got more influence in their life than anybody's life. They're part of the 1,000. Why would they not be? So what if they're 11, 12, they're going to be 13, 14, 15? I mean, they're going to grow up, right? Right? They're going into eternity. Why do they not count? If it's some old guy on the street, why does he not count? Is he a soul? He's a soul. Don't just limit it to your own demographic, what you think you can do. Trust God for what he can do. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for your children. I thank you for faith. I thank you for your love. God, I'm speaking life and love and faith and eternity over your people in Jesus' name. God, I bless them by the power of your Spirit. God, I bless them with faith. God, I ask that your anointing would be upon them, that every gift that you have for them would come down from your throne of grace into their lives now. You would increase their gifts. You would increase their character. God, you would increase their ability to share their faith with unbelievers, with their family. You just give them greater measures of love to share your love with their family, to share their love with their friends on their campus, to share their love and their honor with their parents. I'm praying for a greater measure of honor over these young people, that they would begin to obey their parents, they'd obey their authorities. God, they begin to honor their authorities in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I just want to speak this before I close in prayer. You have to be in alignment with your authorities, guys. You've got to begin. Whether they're godly or not, you will not see 1,000 souls. You will not begin winning souls if you're out of God's covering. God gave you parents, whether they're heathens or not, and you have to obey them. You have to be submitted to their authority, period. It's scripture. It will go well with you in the land. You'll be under their authority, even if they're abusive and angry and hurting. It doesn't mean you allow them to keep abusing you, but you still honor them. Amen? Okay. So I know some of you might be in abusive situations. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, look, you've got to honor. Period. That's how it works. And then God will bless. Amen? So, go in the power of the Holy Spirit this week. Come on, go in love. Be committed. Be at church next week. Be committed. Bring people to church next week. Next week is our last week in this room. That's huge. This is huge. This is huge. God wants to move among us. Wants to move through your life. Be committed. It should be the exception that we're not at church together and that we're not loving each other. Listen, when you go out of church, you guys should be getting together. You guys need to get to know one another. You need to get to know our leadership team. It's time that we become a family and that we don't just show up here on Thursdays and go away. But you know what? It comes from everybody. Everybody's got to begin to just love one another and spend time with one another and not feel like, well, I don't think he likes me. Oh, I don't think that she likes me. Forget all that stuff. Forget all those fears and anxieties and all that rejection that the enemy's trying to bring between us. See, he wants you guys to hate each other and to hate me. When God said that I'll put hatred between you and the devil, you and Satan, not between the man and the woman and God. The devil's trying to get hatred between all of us and make us reject each other and feel rejected and all this kind of stupid stuff. Listen, you've got to rise above all that, even if you're feeling it in your heart, and you've just got to begin to build relationships with one another and become a family. Amen? Mishpoka. Say mishpoka. Mishpoka. That means family in Hebrew. Come on, you learned a Hebrew word today. Hey, I bless you today. Be blessed. We'll see you next week with more people. Amen? New souls.